This is a Collider.com audio interview.
My name's Steve Weintraub. I run a site called Collider.
Oh, I know your site. Hi, Steve. How are you?
How are you doing, sir? It's actually, that's incredibly cool that you know the site.
I know Collider. I know my websites.
I'm just throwing that out there. I've been a fan of yours for a very long time, and so I'm very happy when anyone that I respect and admire knows our site.
Well, you've got a big site. You'd have to be a fool not to know it.
I've been hearing that more and more, but still, it's still, you know, we started from nothing.
How long have you been? You've been on like 4 years, right?
We launched in July of 2005.
Oh, so 6 years.
Yeah, but the first few, you know, are crap. It's, you know, as you figure it out, you get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
As long as you can hear me, shoot.
Yeah, I can definitely hear you. First of all, really, thank you for giving me your time today. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but everyone at the site absolutely loves Drive. It's probably my favorite film of the year. Just a spectacular movie. So let's just start with that.
I love it. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you a few generic things just because, you know, I want to, but you haven't really done that many movies since 2005, and... this was, you know, your first film, basically, since 2005. What made you say yes to this one? And I'm sure you've been asked to do other things.
Yeah, I got tired of the same thing. And, you know, when I made my last movie, which was Looking for Comedy, to be honest with you, the release part of it with Sony forcing me to change the title and then going with Warner Independent, it was such a rough ride that I just needed a breath. I got sort of disillusioned. So I started writing the novel that I finished last year, and I found that to be exhilarating in terms of a writer. And then I'd get offered stuff, and it felt like a bad version of something I would write. You know, I didn't want to play like a stupid part in a comedy, and so I just said I just sort of took myself out of it for a while and wrote this book every day, and when Drive came to me because the casting director knew my manager and called and said, you know, you've always talked to me about Albert wanting to play the heavy, and I think he should read this. And that just, my ears just perked up, because it was a chance, if I hadn't done something for a few years, it was a chance to at least come back in a whole different way. So, you know, that made me excited. And so I took it.
If I'm not mistaken, you improvised some, if not a lot, of dialogue on Taxi Driver. If you did improvise as much as I think you did, do you get some sort of card that, you know, when Scorsese allows you to improvise, you get to improvise on every future project?
No, that's funny. I get a pass. No. Actually, let me tell you the way it worked, because it wasn't really improvisation. What we did was we rehearsed in a hotel room for about 2.5 weeks, and there it was improvisation. But out of that, it was set into a script. Because for the most part, improvising while cameras are rolling, it's very difficult. You know, 99% of people, you should never ask to do that, because they're under pressure, a clock is running, 80 people are staring at you. It's always unnatural. But the place to do it is in a quiet place where you have nothing to lose. So Marty would sit there, and the actors would be there, and Paul Schrader would be there, and out of that came a script. And from that script, and then we stuck to the script when the cameras were rolling. Drive was similar. Drive was very well constructed, but there was a lot that wasn't there, especially because the actors hadn't been cast yet. And I was cast before Ron Perlman, and when Nicholas was looking for who Nino was, I mean, you know, if he had chosen Steve Buscemi to play Nino, I think the dynamic between Bernie and Nino would have been different. But as soon as Ron came, I said to Ron the first night after rehearsal, we were walking in the car, and I said, you know what this is, right? And he says, well, I can do Ron, but you know,
what is it?
I said, this is George and Lenny in Of Mice and Men. And, you know.
I'm Lenny?
Yes, of course you're Lenny, Ron. but that gave us a place to go. Almost Bernie feeling sorry for him, treating him almost like, you know, mentally deficient. It gave a place to for the characters to develop. So that's when you use the word improv, it's really not actual improv where you don't know what you're going to say when you get to the set. You sort of do that behind the scenes, and when you get to the set, it's written.
I totally get that.
Yeah, now sometimes in my own movies, I would never ask other actors to do that, but if the character I had written for myself wanted to go on while the camera was rolling, I felt comfortable doing that. Because I had written the character, and I knew what the character, and you know, God damn it, if I thought of something really funny right there, I'm going to say it. But I would never ask the other actors to do that, because it doesn't work out well. You know what it does? All improv turns into anger. All comedy improv is basically turns into anger. Because that's all people know how to do when they're improvising. If you notice, you know, shows that are improvising are generally people yelling at each other. They don't really, when you improvise on the spot, people are very reluctant to have soft moments or quiet moments or sad moments because they're trying to fill up the spaces. So they always go towards, well, how come you're late? Well, you're supposed to have my shirt ready. How come you called us a dry cleaner? You know, that's what happens. So that's why improvising on the spot, it's very dicey.
You immediately make me think of Curb Your Enthusiasm. But I definitely have to say, are you a little bit surprised by the critical reaction to Drive? Because the reviews seem to, you know, it's not just, you know, us at Collider who are very enthusiastic of the film. It seems to be a uniform thing. And also, a lot of people have singled out your performance, especially.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to be thrilled about it. That's all. I've been on both sides of the coin. I've been where people have liked it and people have didn't like it. And, you know, you'd be an idiot to say it's not nicer if people like it. You want people to like it. If they don't, you still go on, and it doesn't even mean that, you know, it isn't great. It could mean a million things, but when Drive came out of Cannes with that bang, I was pleasantly surprised. Let's just say that. It wasn't how in the hell could this happen, but it doesn't have to happen, you know? There's nothing that says it has to happen. So I was, this sort of came out like a shot. And Nicholas won his Best Director Award, and people were like, really digging it there, and I was on a book tour, and I was really upset I couldn't go because I would love to have seen it. But then I watched it at the Toronto Film Festival, and it plays like a bat out of hell because it's a good movie. You know, whether or not, oh, it's too violent or this or that, there's so much style going on here. There's so much craftsmanship. You've got to appreciate the movie for that alone, I think.
Oh, 100%. definitely have to ask you. I put on Twitter if anyone had any questions, and a lot of people said the same thing that I was planning on asking anyway, which is, what's the story with Defending Your Life eventually getting on Blu-ray, as well as some of your other films?
Hey, you know, tell these people to write, let's occupy Warners. I don't know how those decisions are made. I'm trying to get the movies on Netflix free streaming, just because I'd like people to see them easily. And that's a challenge. So I don't know, man. I don't know how the Blu-ray decisions are made. I think we need an Occupy movement.
You might be right. It might work. Definitely want to ask your opinion on the fact that Pixar Disney is re-releasing Finding Nemo in 3D next year. I'm assuming you've heard about that. What are your thoughts on the whole re-release in 3D?
Well, listen, of all the Pixar movies, this might be the most interesting one to see what it looks like in 3D, I guess, because, you know, it certainly has the visuals. It was so visual to begin with. I as soon as I saw the success of Lion King, I said to myself, this has got to be next, because it only makes sense, you know? It's like, what would the water look like? Putting on the glasses. So, you know, we'll see. I would imagine it's going to look amazing. It sort of looked amazing without 3D, so I would imagine it's going to be pretty interesting. But it seems like it seems like people, you know, they go to these things all over again. I know they're doing the same thing with Monsters in January. So I guess this is a new business.
Stephen, this last question, please.
Okay. You have made, it seems to me like you've made a film every 6 years, with the last film being 2005. We're now in 2011. It's been 6 years. Is it almost time for you to announce you're making another movie?
Yes, but my novel had to buy me an extra year at least.
I'll be happy if you say 2012.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see, you know. I mean, right now, I wouldn't mind devoting a couple of years to playing some really cool parts. I sort of got my chops wet, because over the years, every time I made one of my own movies, I'd go to the sidelines as an actor for 3 years. I couldn't stop. I turned down so many roles, because, you know, if they're giving you money to deliver a movie, you can't say, you know what, can I take the summer off and, you know, do this part? So you take yourself out of the acting game. I would like to see what happens in the next 6 or 8 months to see if there's another drive lurking that would be really interesting for me to do. If not, you know, I'll do what I do again. I mean, I just sort of got my chops wet again as an actor, and I have to say I'd like to repeat it if there's something worth biting into. You know what I mean?
I totally do. I know I got to go, but I definitely have to ask just real quick. You sort of touched on what I was going to ask you just a second ago, which is there a part over the last decade or two that you were offered that you had to turn down, that you sort of still think about, like, wow, I can't believe I had to turn that one down?
Well, I turned down so many parts, you know, so many parts, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Get Poets Society and Big and Pretty Woman and one part that I actually wanted to play, and I was in pre-production of my own movie, just because I thought I wanted to work with Paul, was the part that Burt Reynolds got in Boogie Nights. I liked that whole ensemble. I liked when I read that script, I really liked it. But I couldn't stop. I couldn't shut down what I was doing. But, you know, listen, I don't know, regrets are stupid. They don't mean anything. They don't add up to anything. So I'm looking ahead.
I agree with you. Listen, I got to go, obviously. Thank you so much for giving me your time. I really do appreciate it.
Congratulations. congratulations on having a on being 6 years into this. It's very hard to do. I think you could pat yourself on the back for making it in this world where everyone else is trying to do it.
I thank you so much, and obviously nothing but the best. And I really do hope you get something another kick-ass part like Drive.
All right, thanks, man.
Have a great day.